And before we begin our lesson, I want to just kind of put a plug in here. 2 weeks from today, right, Ryan, the 15th, we will be showing the movie Fireproof. Now, I know a lot of you folks have already seen it because 2 years ago we did this with all of our couples and so forth. But even if you've already seen it, I would encourage you to come back and see it again. 5 o'clock on the 15th, right here in the auditorium. Brian will be hosting that. So keep that in mind. Put it on your schedule to be here for that. We are discussing and studying God's crazy, relentless love that He has for us. Okay? Now, what we're trying to do in this study is to get to know God in a relationship, on a relationship basis. And it's really about learning to love God and love His creation. That is one another. Okay? Again, we're talking about relationships here because that's what it's all about. Learning how to love God from the heart and learning how to love His creation from the heart. Now, we have been really looking at it from the standpoint of answering a couple of questions. This God that we pray to, who is He? Really trying to get to know Him for who He really is. Because, you see, if you think about it this way, if you want to have a relationship with someone, then what you really have to do is get to know that person, right? And the more you get to know them, the stronger the relationship. So that's what we're trying to do, is to get to know Him better. All right? And so there's some questions like, you know, what is God really like? We've been talking about some of that. And what are the attributes and the characteristics that God has that really should draw us to Him? And ultimately, the question that we really hope to answer as we continue this study through is, why then does this God, why does He deserve our worship? Why does He deserve our love? Why does He deserve our obedience? And as we get to know Him better, you see, hopefully we will return the crazy love to Him that He has for us. We started out this morning talking about my dad and our dad, that kind of thing. You see, there are a lot of people, and I suspect that there are probably at least a handful of people in this audience who really have a difficult time understanding and kind of grasping the idea of a father, a heavenly father who loves you, because, you know, maybe your experience with your earthly father was not very good. And so, again, there's a lot of folks who just have a difficult time when we talk about God being our Father who loves us. And I've heard lots of people say, I can't relate to that. See? Because perhaps, you know, your father maybe wasn't around while you were growing up. Or maybe he wasn't the kind of father that you really needed him to be. Whatever the reason, there may be a difficulty there. Well, Let me share some things with you. When I turned 5 years old, I that night before I went to bed, I went to give my father a kiss. Good night. And my father said to me then, no more kisses. He said, men don't kiss, they shake hands. And from that time on, I don't remember really any real affection from my father. No. I was raised Catholic, and so I was an altar boy at 7 years old, growing up in the Catholic Church, and from that time, about the time I was 7 years old, I wanted, from the heart, I desired to be a priest. I wanted to serve God as a priest. Okay? So when I began high school, this is the high school that I attended. It was a college prep high school seminary. It's actually out in Goochland County. And I attended that. I went there my freshman year in high school. I went there with an earnest desire to study to prepare for the priesthood. By the time I ended my freshman year, when I went home at the end of the school year, I told my parents I didn't want to go back again. I was done with that. There's too many things that were going on that just I didn't like and so forth. by the end of the summertime, I told him I wanted to go back. And I continued going back, and I went back all 4 years of high school, and I graduated from there. Now, while I was a junior in high school is when I decided I wanted to be a Virginia State Trooper. I didn't want to be a priest anymore. I wanted to be a state trooper, and so I pursued that that endeavor and so forth. But back a handful of years ago, I had a conversation with my father. We were trying to kind of clear some things up between us and so forth, and he asked me outright, he said, when you finished your first year of high school, you said you didn't want to go back. But then you did, and you kept going back. He said, why? At that moment, I thought to myself, but I didn't say this to him, I said, ask me something else. Because I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but I told him, I said, because it was easier than living at home. There's a boarding school that I attended all 4 years of high school. Because I didn't want to be at home. Several years ago, I found out, and I thought to myself, and I told Cindy back then, I said, I finally found out what you have to do to get my dad to be proud of me. Because the first time that I ever heard him say that to me was when I got my PhD. Now, I'm not telling you these things to make you feel sorry for me. I'm telling you this about myself and opening up that about myself to help you to see that, yes, first of all, I know what that's kind of like, to really have a difficult time having an earthly father who doesn't show his love and so forth. I don't have any question now as I look back that my father loved me. He just didn't show it very well, and I had a difficult time with that. But the other reason is because that experience with my father helped me to determine that when I became a father, that I was going to be different in the way that I raised my children, because I wanted to have a relationship with my children, and that drove me. What my experience that I had growing up, I oftentimes looked at it and said, when I got big, I wasn't going to be this way. I was going to treat my children this way, and I was going to do different. And what drove me in raising my children was that I wanted them to have a different experience, and I wanted truly to have a relationship with my children that lasts into adulthood, and that's what I have with them, you see. I remember when my daughter was born, my first child came about. I actually went out into the hallway, and I grabbed another father that was waiting for his child to be born, and I dragged him into the room to show him how beautiful my daughter was. Okay? That's how crazy I was about my child. Okay? You know, my daughter, as she was growing, and we used to, one of the things that we had, and she gave me a recording back several years ago now of the song Butterfly Kisses, because that's one of the things that we shared, that we used to give butterfly kisses to one another. And there were so many times as she was growing up, and we would roll on the floor and play and laugh and just have so much fun together. And I have no idea who this guy is that's holding my daughter. Okay? All right? But there's just so many great memories and great times that we had of us together. And of course, as our son came along, the same thing with him. I'm not going to bore you with all of the pictures and so forth. But here's the thing. I want you to know, and I tell you today, I am crazy in love with my children. Okay? I'm absolutely crazy in love with them to this day. Now, you need to understand something. My children have never been, and they are not now, perfect. But I'm never going to stop loving them. Because they're my children.
Amen.
You say, they're my children. And all of my experiences in the past have, as I said a moment ago, driven me to really work hard at having a relationship with my children that we have today. And you know, all of this helps me to understand a little bit better that concept of a heavenly Father who loves us and has this crazy, relentless love for me and for you. Francis Chan, in his book, Crazy Love, says this: nothing compares to being truly, exuberantly wanted by your children. And if you are a parent, you understand that. To have your children just love you and just want to be with you and to hug on you and kiss on you and all that, it's the greatest feeling in the world. See? And Jesus says this to us earthly parents, you know, those who maybe struggle with this idea of a Father in heaven who loves us with this relentless, crazy love. He says this: if you then, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? You see? That's the kind of heavenly Father that we have. He wants to be involved in our lives. Why? Because he loves us. It's that simple. Because he loves us. When we truly love God, you see, then we're going to run to him like our children would run to us. That's what love does in a relationship. And I think that's why Jesus tells us this: unless you change and become like little children, Amen. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, I think, you know, we get into this whole thing, you know, when our kids become teenagers. And I had a colleague of mine in the counseling field one time read this quote from him. He said, the way that you survive the adolescent years of your children, he said, when they turn 13, you get one of those big old whiskey barrels, okay? It has a hole in the side of it, and you put them in it, okay? And you put them in that, and you feed them through the hole, okay? And he said, when they turn 18, plug the hole, okay? And that's just an illustration. Now, Monique's over going, how can he say that? Not my child. When they turn into a teenager, you'll go, that's good advice. You see? Because we all know how difficult those teenage years can be. But, you know, again, it's the love that we have for our children that draws us and drives us to provide the best that we can for them. And when they're real little, when we were real little, you see, that relationship was such that we want to run to them. When teenagers, we think we know everything, and we don't have anything to do with our parents. And again, I think that's why Jesus tells us, be like little children.
Amen.
You see? Don't forget what it's like when you were a child. You see, it's all about plans, I think, in relationships. And we make plans, don't we? Before our children are born, we get ready, prepared. You guys know that, right? Okay? You three that just had the babies here, you know what this is all about. The first thing that happens, you know, you have that sonogram that tells you, is it going to be a boy or a girl, right? And once you find that out, then you can start getting the nursery ready. So you get all the stuff, you get the nursery all set up, and while you're doing all of that, you got to go through the book and you got to figure out, what are we going to call this child when he gets here? You got to pick out the right name, because if you don't pick out the right name, then there's going to be problems. Okay? All right? Now, they don't have a choice as to what the name is going to be that you give them, but you have to realize they're stuck with it the rest of their life. Okay? All right, so they may have some kind of an objection to it later on. You call me what? You say, but that's all part of the preparations that we as human parents make when we're waiting for our child, isn't it? And then as they get here, we start raising them, and we're involved in their lives and helping them to grow. We have dreams and goals and plans for them in their lives, don't we? And hopefully one of the, if not the top, and I hope it is for most of you, the top, but at least somewhere up there at the very high point, it is the desire for them more than anything to have a relationship with God. And so you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you see? And you teach them about God so that when they're old, they won't forget about Him. And not only do we care about their relationship with God, we want them to get to know Him, but we also want to prepare them for, you know, how to live in the world and be responsible citizens, and whether we're going to try to help them go to college and get a good education or whatever it is that we're going to prepare them. So, you know, after they turn 18, we get them out and then they can make it on their own, you see. But we plan and we dream and we have all these goals and we try to help them as they grow into adulthood. Well, you know what? Our Heavenly Father wants the same for us. He really, really does. In fact, He plans and He has dreams and goals for us also. You see? Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist says, "You created me in my inmost being." Okay? "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made," he says. Okay? So, God, remember last week we were talking about being in God's movie? You see, it goes back to that God wrote you into His script, okay? As He's doing His movie and He's put His movie together, He wrote a part for you in His movie, okay? Now, I want you to notice what the psalmist continues to say. Verse 16, take a look at this. He says, "You saw me before I was born." Okay? Now look at the next part. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out." When? "Before a single day had passed. Before you breathed your first breath, God had His plans all laid out for you." See? They were already written in His script. In His movie, your part, as we talked about last week. He designed that part specifically for you. And notice what He says through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 right. And verse 5. "Before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." That's how much your Heavenly Father loves you. You see? He didn't have to view the sonogram. He already knew what you were going to be. Okay? And He let your earthly parents take care of the crib and the nursery and all those kinds of things. But He laid out your script in His movie of life. And He's got plans for you. In Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 11, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Okay? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Okay? And look at what He says. "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." And look at this next part. Okay? "You will seek me and find me." When? "When you seek me with all your heart." You see, a relationship with God, what He wants is a relationship from the heart. Okay? God doesn't want you just to go to church. You see? He wants a relationship with you. Right. And He relentlessly pursues you to have a love relationship with you. But here's an important part of it. We need to love God, not just God's stuff. What do we mean by that? Well, there's something you need to understand about God's crazy love. And I don't know if you realize this or not. Okay? What's really crazy about God's love for you and for me, all right, for His creation, is this. He doesn't have to love us. It's not a requirement for God. Okay? Because what we need to understand is, He doesn't need us. Okay? God doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. He is perfectly complete without any of us. Okay? And here's the really crazy part about that. He doesn't need us, but He wants us.
Amen.
Okay? He wants us. Why? Because He loves us. It's that simple. It's crazy. Because you see, for us, we typically base our love on our needs from other people, don't we? I need this from you, and so I love you, as long as you're giving it to me. Whatever this is. But if you stop giving me this, what I need from you, then I don't love you anymore. That's not the way it is with God. He doesn't need anything from us. He didn't create us, in other words, because He needs something from us. He created us to have a relationship with us. Period. You see? He wanted to share Himself with us. Not only does He not need us, but He loves us anyway. He considers us to be His inheritance. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that idea. Okay? Because my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, okay? I mean, he's really, really wealthy. I don't know if you ever noticed that about our Heavenly Father. Okay? He owns everything. Amen. And that makes you and I not just kids, but King's kids. Alright? And we have a promised inheritance from our Father. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us, I pray. Okay, that you will, how does he say this? That I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you and the riches of His glorious, what?
Inheritance.
Okay? His glorious inheritance. He has an inheritance for us. Francis Chan says a couple of things here that are really significant for us to understand. He says, the irony is that while God doesn't need us but still wants us, we desperately need God but don't really want Him most of the time. Think about that. I mean, you know, do we only want God around when we need Him, when it's convenient, and we don't really want Him to go to some of the places that we go because that would be too embarrassing? And we certainly don't want Him hearing some of the things that we talk about with some of the people we talk about, so we don't really want Him around then. And doing some of the things that we do, we certainly don't want Him around. So is our relationship with Him kind of based on what's convenient for us and not where it's an all-the-time thing? Francis goes on to say this. He, that is God, treasures us and anticipates our departure from this earth to be with Him. And yet we wonder indifferently how much we have to do just to get by. What's the minimum that I need to do in order to get by? When He chases us and pursues us with a relentless love. Let me ask you this question. What is your primary goal in life? Let me ask that question. What would be your primary, what do you want most in life? Anybody? What do you want? You don't know? What do you want?
Serve the Lord.
You want to serve the Lord, okay? You want to go to heaven, thank you. Because, you know, really that's, I mean, let's be honest, most of us, that's what we want, right? I want to go to heaven when I die. That's my goal in life. And so we live our life kind of based on that goal, don't we? And that's, you know, It's a good goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would it surprise you if I were to tell you that's the wrong goal? You say, well, wait a minute, there's only one other alternative, and I certainly don't want to go there. Well, that's true, but you see, the problem with that kind of thinking and having that kind of goal is this. There's a lot of people who want to go to heaven simply because they don't want to go to hell. You say, I don't want to go to hell when I die, so the only other alternative is heaven, so yeah, I want to go there. So what then do I need to do, A, B, C, and D, and so forth, in order to make sure that I go to heaven and not hell when I die? Are you following me with that kind of thinking? And so, you know, what do I need to do? Well, of course, I need to go to church. Listen to that preacher again. And so we have our scorecard, you see, of the things that we have to do in order to go to heaven. And so as long as I do all of these things and check off on my scorecard, then I get to go to heaven. That's wrong thinking, I suggest, too. And let me illustrate it to you with this story. This is a picture of Tommy Gilbert. About 2 weeks ago, I think it was, killed his wealthy father. Got into an argument. You may have read about this on the news. He got into an argument over his father wanting to cut his monthly allowance by a few hundred dollars. Yeah. And Tommy didn't like that idea, and so he killed his father. But see, here's what I want you to think about. You see, I think the problem is that Tommy didn't love his father and didn't want a relationship with him. Tommy just wanted his father's stuff.
Yeah.
You see? He just wanted what his father would provide to him. Didn't care about a relationship with him. As long as he could get what his father had for him and provided for him, then he was happy in the quote-unquote relationship that they had. And I think that there's too many Christians who are doing the same thing. See? They don't realize that the greatest gift that we can have is God Himself. That's the greatest gift right there. Heaven is a byproduct of our relationship. Think about it this way, okay? You have a family, and you gather your family together, and you go where at the end of the day? Where does everybody gather? Some of you don't sound so sure. Where does everybody go? They go home, right? You see? Why does everybody in your family go to your home at the end of the day? Because they're in relationship with one another, right? Okay. Isn't that kind of like what it is with God? If we are in a relationship with God, when we die, where do we get to go?
Home.
Home, you see? Your goal every day that you have at the end of your day isn't just to go home, is it? I hope not. Your goal should be to have good relationships with the people that you share your home with. Amen. And that's why you have a home to go to. Because you are in a relationship with them. And it's the same way with us in God. The reason we have a home to go to, a home of heaven, is because of our relationship with God. You see? That's the byproduct of it. And it shouldn't be the goal, because if that's the goal, just to go to heaven, then again, it's this kind of a mechanical, I go through all the hoops, jump through all the hoops, and do all the things I need to do so I can go to heaven, or just so that I don't go to hell. And it leaves the relationship kind of like Tommy's with his dad. Look at what Paul says here. In 2 Corinthians, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So what? So we make it our goal to go to heaven? No. Look at what he says. to please Him. That should be our goal. To please Him in our relationship with Him. Heaven is what we receive as a result of being in that relationship. That's the place we go at the end of our life, just like you go home at the end of your day. So we need to make our goal, not heaven, that's too short of a goal. You see, if heaven is our goal, our ultimate goal, we're missing out on the great relationship we have with God. And I think there's too many Christians that are doing that. Because they're only focused on going to heaven when they die. And they're missing out on a great relationship with our Heavenly Father. So here's a question for you. Are you in love with God or just His stuff? See? What are you in love with? You just want the benefits that God has to offer? Or do you want a relationship with Him? There's a big difference between those two. God says this to us. I love you so much. And He chases after us with this crazy, crazy love that He has for us. Again, not because He needs us, but because He wants us in relationship with Him. What do you want? You want a relationship with God? Or are you just content to have His stuff? I hope that some of the things that I've shared with you this morning, and again, perhaps those of you who might struggle with understanding and comprehending this idea of a Father who loves us because of your past and your experience, I hope that the things I've shared will help you understand and realize that's not the kind of Father we have, not the kind of Heavenly Father. And then you will look at that relationship all over again. And that as a child, you will run to His arms and embrace Him as He embraces you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know if there's struggles that you're having in your relationship with God. Maybe there's some sin issues that are going on that are causing problems between you and God. I want to encourage you, if that's what's going on, get rid of it. Get it out of there. And let God just love you, and you return His love to Him. If you're not in a relationship with Him, if you've never given your life to Christ, then you need to understand the destination of your life at the end of it is going to be hell. There's the only alternative for those who are outside of a relationship with Him. The good news is that you can have a relationship with Him and begin that right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you are ready and committed to make Him the Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And that way, by doing that, you can begin a new relationship with Him. The one who loves you. The one who loves you enough that He sent His Son to die for you. And then, at the end of your life, you get to go home with Him. Eternally. Whatever need you have, whatever's going on in your life, we want to help you if you need help. Whatever it is. So we offer an opportunity, an invitation, for you to come and say, hey, this is what's going on, and I need some help with this. Or I need prayers. Whatever it might be. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to just have a private conversation or prayer with him, he'll be back there to receive you. Or if you'd like to come up and talk to me, I'll be up here. Let's stand together and sing.